have a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to John, the 15th chapter. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 17. As you're turning there, I have some sad news to share. Don Nelson passed away last night, and he was such a faithful leader in our church for so many years. He touched so many lives. It's interesting that, and I think profound, that the last portion of scripture that I read to him before he went into hospice came from this section of the Bible on John, the 14th chapter. It's a great promise that Christ has made to us in this portion of scripture. Would you follow along as I read from the living word of God as found in our scriptures? Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. If you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that's thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up and thrown into a fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way prove that you are my disciples. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Help us, God, in this moment not to hide from you, but to present ourselves open face before you. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Hello, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of the Hastings United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that you're here. If you're joining us online or through cable access, we're delighted that you've chosen the Hastings United Methodist Church as your church home. We're in the middle of a sermon series focusing on the life of Christ through the unique perspective of John. There are four Gospels, gospel means good news, that are biographies of the life of Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was the last gospel that was written, and so it has a different perspective, a different flavor to it, because John is trying to answer the question, why did God do what God did in Jesus Christ? The first week we looked at those remarkable words right at the beginning of the Gospel of John where it says, "And the Word became flesh." And we talked about the incarnation, how God became flesh and dwelt among us. And I remember one of the youth after the service came up and said, "That's the first time that I get it. We're always talking about Jesus, 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 like, what's he so special for? I know he's a good teacher and all that. Today I got it, that Jesus is God in human flesh." The next week we talked about the miracles of Christ and how John records only 7 of the 35 miracles that we know that Jesus performed, but how he uses each one of them as a sign to point us toward the unique nature of Christ. Last week we talked about the 7 I am statements of Christ. We went all the way into the Old Testament and we looked at how when Moses asked God, "What's your name?" God said, "I am." And then during the ministry of Christ, Jesus used over and over and over again the statement, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." And the Jewish leaders who opposed Christ didn't miss what he was doing. In fact, in John the 10th chapter, it says, "The reason we want to kill you is because you equate yourself with God." This week, we're going to turn to chapters 14 through 17. We're actually going to spend a couple weeks on this. It's called The Final Discourse. If you know about the Holy Week, you've probably heard the phrase Holy Week. Holy Week is the last week of Jesus' earthly life. It begins on the Sunday before Easter, because that's when Jesus entered for the last time into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and people waved palm branches. They were so excited. They believed that a king was coming into Jerusalem who was going to throw off the Roman oppressors, and Israel was going to become a sovereign nation again. But when they realized that Jesus wasn't going to lead some military campaign like that, they quickly turned on him. Thursday night, 24 hours before Jesus would be dead, he had set aside a room, an upper room, where he had a meal prepared for the disciples, a Passover meal. And after that supper was over, this is where communion comes from. Jesus had taken a loaf of bread and he had showed it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat from this. This is my body." And then when the supper was over, he took a cup and he lifted it up towards heaven. The disciples must have been wondering, what's he doing? It's part of the Passover meal. But he says, "This is my blood being poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins." What happens in the final discourse is it's the final lesson of Jesus to his disciples. And I think the key to understanding it is to look back on chapter 14, the first verse, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me." So the final discourse, the final lesson, is comfort for the disciples. The great man Jesus is telling him, "I'm going to die." They're disturbed, of course. They've been following him for 3 years. And then he predicts what's going to happen. He said specifically to Peter, "Peter, you're going to betray me 3 times before the sun comes up. The rest of you are going to be scattered, but don't go far, because 3 days after I die, something amazing is going to happen, and you are going to want to be a part of that." Jesus talks about not leaving them as orphans. Even though physically he's going to leave them through this death, he's not going to leave them as orphans. He's going to send the Paraclete, or what's called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to come, and that is what is going to allow them to continue to stay in relationship with one another. And after Jesus tells them about this Holy Spirit, which is a new teaching, not something that people knew a lot about, he uses an allegory, a visual statement, to help them understand what he's talking about. And here Jesus uses his last I am statement. Jesus says in chapter 15, "I am the true vine." Again, this is an affront to Israel, because Israel believed that they were the true vine. In fact, there was a huge golden vine on the front of the temple as a symbol for the nation of Israel and how it had been set aside by God to bear good fruit, the good things of God in the world. And Jesus is saying here, "I'm the true vine." And what you want to do is you want to stay connected to the vine. He says that over and over again in verse 5. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, then you'll produce much fruit. Verse 7. If you remain in me, said Jesus, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want. Verse 9. As the Father loved me and I have loved you, remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. What Jesus is saying is, with everything that's about to happen, the most important thing that you can do is stay connected to me. That's the teaching for this morning. As Christians, we're supposed to stay connected to the person of Christ. If I were in your position, I'd say, how? How are we supposed to do that? So go back to the teaching of Christ, and he's saying there's this mystery, the mysterious Holy Spirit, and that is the thing that's going to maintain our communion with each other. Now, God sent the Holy Spirit to help us maintain that spirit, but we have choices to make according to the Scriptures and how we put ourselves in the way of the stream of the Spirit. One of those ways is what we're doing right now, worship. We're told in the Scriptures that wherever two or three people gather together in the name of Christ, Jesus said, there I am in their midst. How is Christ present? In the Holy Spirit. So in coming to church and gathering in Christ's name, listening to the word, singing the songs of God, we've placed ourselves in the stream of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, we'll participate in another one of those vehicles of the Holy Spirit, conduits of the Holy Spirit, and that's communion. Every Sunday, we say, I hope you're developing a daily quiet time where you're spending time in the Word and in prayer. That's not so you can check the box and say, well, I'm better than the people that didn't do that. That has nothing to do with that. We do that because the Scriptures say whenever we do that and we open this book, we're looking through a window into heaven. And we can see the spiritual things of God. It's a vehicle for God to bring God's Spirit to us. So there's a book, Celebration of Discipline, by Richard Foster, and he's gone through all the Scriptures and pointed out the various ways that we can experience the Holy Spirit by these spiritual practices. Not all of them are going to be helpful for you. I remember being at my previous church, and one of the people there was always talking about how helpful journaling was for them to experience God, and how they would write down their thoughts from the previous day, and they would write down their thoughts as they were entering the day. And I was sitting there thinking, well, I ought to journal like that. That sounds really helpful. And so I went and I bought a spiral and I got a pen and I sat down and I put the date on the top of the next day and I was going to write down. And I sat there. Absolutely nothing came to mind. I probably got three sentences into that thing and thought, this is awful. This is not helpful for me at all. And so each one of us are our own unique person, have our own unique temperament, gifts, and talents, and we are in our own situation in life. What the Christian life is all about as a disciple is learning how to enjoy this connection with God that's been offered to us. In the Heidelberg Catechism, which is used by the Presbyterians, I think they say it in a wonderful way. The whole meaning of life is to know God and enjoy God forever. That's what's being offered to us. When Jesus says, I'm the vine, you can stay connected to me. Now, that's the mystical side of what I think Christ is saying. There's a very practical thing that he's saying as well, by staying close to Christ. And it's advice that if you're a parent or a grandparent, you've given to your kids or your grandkids. Be careful about who you hang out with. Why? Because they'll influence you. Be choosy about who you hang out with. If we hang out with the wrong people, if we find ourselves running in the wrong crowd, and they're making selfish, short-sighted decisions, we can end up making selfish, short-sighted decisions. I was reading some 12-step material this past week, and they said that most sobriety issues come from a troubled relationship. Not all, but most come from troubled relationships in our past, where we've been wounded, we've been hurt, and we're trying to deal with the pain. Isn't that interesting? And what's being offered to us in this text is the opposite of a troubled relationship. It's the best kind of relationship. I think one of the most important aha moments that we can have as a Christian is to realize that Christianity isn't just a list of good advice. Certainly there is good advice that's being given to us by see you. Yeah. We've all kind of been there too, haven't we? And by following the teachings of Christ, we can certainly make our life better, but that's not the most important thing that's being offered to us in Christianity. What's being offered to us is a relationship with God through Christ. Jesus, in this final discourse, is using incredibly intimate language, speaking to us and saying, I no longer call you servants. You're my friend. He calls us little children. He says, I'm knocking on the door. And if you open the door and you let me in, we're going to sit and we're going to dine together. We're going to live life together. What Christianity is offering is a living relationship with God every moment of every day through the rest of our life into eternity. And the maturity process of being a disciple of Christ is learning how to enjoy that relationship in all the highs and lows of life, how to connect in with the ever-present God. It's an astounding claim that Christ wants to go through all the experiences of our life together as a traveling companion, and he's the best kind of traveling companion. He's patient and kind. He keeps no record of wrongs. Whatever happened yesterday, that's yesterday. Today is new birth, a new day. I think the thing that you and I have in common, the reason that you got up this morning, you put on some nice clothes and you came here, is probably not the free donut holes that we're offering in the foyer. You can get free or donut holes many places. Probably the reason that you're here is you want to have a better life. Something has happened in your life and you want better. And the better that Christianity is offering is this connection with Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate invitation of the Christian faith, is to enter into an everyday communion with God. And it's through that communion with God that we begin to change. If you want to be a more courageous person, who better to connect yourself with and stay in connection with than Jesus, who took on the entire Jewish leadership and the Roman government and went to the cross out of an act of love in order to defeat death for our sake. That's courage. That's guts. Or if you want to be a more compassionate person, who better to stay connected to than a person like Jesus, who comes over the hill and he sees all of these people and all of the hurt and the pain that they've gone through in their life, the disappointment of what they hoped their life would be and what it has been, and he weeps. And then he plunges into the crowd and he begins to heal and he begins to restore and give hope again. If you want to be a tougher person, not such a scaredy cat, who better to connect in with than Jesus, who, knowing that if he went to Jerusalem, he'd be put to death, and yet it says he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. The rest of the disciples, if you remember the text, they're saying, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you there. And he tells them, get behind me. If you can't be supportive, get behind me, because that's what I need to do. That's tough. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit that's being born, it's these virtues of Christ that are being born in us. And it's not like each one of us is going to become a little robotic Jesus, because you're your own person. You have your own personality, your own gifts and talents. You sit in your own situation in life. You've had your own experiences. You will be a wonderfully unique representative of Jesus Christ. But the gift that God, the overwhelming gift that God is offering you and me today, is to let Jesus in and walk with us through whatever we face in eternal communion with him. Amen.